First Timothy chapter 6 this morning. First Timothy chapter 6. In verses 17 to 19, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, it reads, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O God in heaven, I pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. Not only teach us, cause us to respond to the teaching therein. For your honour and for your glory, we pray. Amen." The Apostle Paul, in dealing with those that do not possess wealth but desperately desire it, he addresses this issue in verses 9 and 10, "For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So leading up to these verses here in chapter 6, verse 17, the Apostle Paul warns us of those that desire to be rich, and he stresses the fact that you and I need to be content with what we have. That is, we came into the world with nothing. And may I remind you that we will leave this world with nothing. In verses 6, 7 and 8 it reads of this chapter, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, and I think we'd all agree, we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." So the Bible gives us some warnings concerning those that desire to be rich. He tells us of the dangers, the troubles, the entrapments, the lusts, the destructivity that will prevail upon those that are pursuing riches. Then verse number 10, he talks about the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That while some coveted after, note, they have erred from the faith, they've strayed from the faith, and pierced themselves with some sorrow. Is that what it reads? No. Say it with me. Many sorrows, plural. So the love of money will equate to you and I to straying from the faith. We will invite trouble and anguish into our lives, and we will invite many sorrows. So this is the warning that God gives to us. And the Bible goes on to teach in verses 11 onwards that the man of God is to flee these things, that is, the passion to be rich, the love for money, and to follow after righteousness. And then he talks about fighting the good fight of faith in verse 12. And then as we make our way down this wonderful chapter, he addresses those who have wealth. So verses 9 and 10, it addresses those that desire to be rich and the dangers that prevail, or you and I will open ourselves up to, if that's our passion in life, to be wealthy. The Bible teaches us, you're asking for trouble. And then we come to verse 17, and there is a charge. That's a very strong word. I command you, God is saying, I charge them that are rich. So from verses 17, those that have wealth are addressed. Those that in God's providence have sufficient. And he instructs them, he instructs you and I that are rich concerning our attitude towards having riches. And what is our responsibility in having such financial security? Is it wrong to be rich? The answer is no. If that's your pursuit in life, then you invite trouble and anguish. But in God's providence, if you and I have plenty, is that wrong in itself? The answer is no. Because verse 17 reads, charge them that are rich. Is it wrong to not be rich? No. See, if we understand the principle of stewardship, so it's not wrong to be rich, to have plenty. It's not wrong to not be rich. That's where the charismatics need to straighten their theology out in that regard. But if we understand the principle of stewardship, we will understand why it is not wrong to have wealth. And the answer is simply that God has entrusted into our care all that we have. We are custodians of wealth. All that we have comes from God. Let me say it again. All that we have comes from God. It is by God's mercy you have what you have right now. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll prove the point. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Worthy of highlighting or underlining. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 17 and 18, the Bible reads, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Sounds familiar. But, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So the Bible teaches us it's God that gives us the privilege and the power to gain wealth. Now, some of God's choicest servants were wealthy, as we read the scriptures. We read of Boaz. We read of Job, Solomon. And what about Abraham? But you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. I'm not Rupert Murdoch. Thank God. Do you realize his grandfather was a Christian? A Bible-believing Christian. I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not related to him. We've got to count your blessings. Pastor, I'm not rich. Well, let me ask you the question. What does it mean to be rich? Biblically. Well, according to Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, note, listen carefully. And Abraham was very rich. And then it defines richness. He was rich in cattle, in silver and gold. Abraham was very rich. He had fixed assets, cattle. He had liquid assets, gold and silver. He had animals. He had currency, he had money. And God said he was very rich. So may I submit to you, my friend, this morning, beyond food and clothing, if you have fixed assets, you have liquid assets, you are very rich according to the Word of God. But Pastor, I'm not rich. Yes, you are. Of course you are. Stop lying to me. You might not be as rich as some others, but on a world scale, you and I are rich. We have fixed assets. We have liquid assets. And don't look at me like, oh, Pastor, that's not me. All I've got is food and raiment. That's rubbish. You might not be as rich as some others, on a world scale, but on a world scale and on a God scale, if you and I have beyond food and clothing, we have fixed and liquid assets. The Bible tells us we are very rich. Amen, preacher. Good preaching. You are rich. But don't get defensive. You're rich. You are not living from hand to mouth. That'd be a crime in this country of ours. You'd be on the front pages. ABC would exploit you. None of us here go from hand to mouth. None of us. Yet the bulk of the world lives that way. You are rich. You and I are accountable. So don't tell me you're not rich. Okay, you might not have as much as Rupert Murdoch or Bill Gates or whoever, your neighbor, your cousin, your brother-in-law, your mother-in-law. But if you have fixed and liquid assets, you are rich, according to the Word of God. But the question this morning is, are we rich towards God? That's the title of my sermon. Sorry, long time coming. Are you rich towards God? You are rich. I am rich. We are all wealthy people. On a world scale, more so on a God scale. But are we rich towards God? And note what the Bible teaches us in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Charge them that are rich in this world, that's you and I, that live in Sydney, Australia, we are rich. God is very directive in this issue of possessing wealth. Why? Because riches are to be handled biblically, to be used biblically for God's glory. And verses 17, 18, and 19 of this wonderful chapter, this wonderful book, teaches us how we can be rich towards God. Are you rich towards God? I know you are rich because you're here. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm living on the poverty line. No, you are not. That's next impossible in Australia. What does the Bible say? What charge does God have for you and I that we might be rich towards God? Well, verse 17 begins by charging us, I charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? High-minded. Don't be high-minded. We need to be careful lest we are proud or arrogant of the fact that we have wealth. In 1 Samuel 2:7 it reads, the Lord maketh poor. The Lord maketh poor. Are you listening to me? The Lord maketh poor. If God chooses, He can make you poor tomorrow. The Lord maketh poor and maketh, you guessed it, rich. He bringeth low, He lifteth up. The initial charge for those that are rich, in order for us to be rich towards God, is that we need to be careful lest we become high-minded. Proud. I think of Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible teaches us that he was a rich man. God uses rich people. This wealthy man surrendered his family tomb for the Lord Jesus. And do you realize in placing the body of our Lord within that tomb can no longer be used for family members. The Lord Jesus moved out via resurrection. That tomb could no longer be used. And Joseph of Arimathea chose to be rich towards God and surrendered his family tomb for the body of his Savior. Don't be high-minded.
we must not lose sight of God's provisions, that it's God that enables us to make wealth. God gives us the strength to work. It's by God's grace we can have a job where we can earn. They're tokens of God's goodness. We must not lose sight of God's provisions. Otherwise, pride will creep in. So I charge those that are rich that they not be high-minded, need to guard against pride and the fact that we have and others don't have as much as what we have. And then note then verse 17, it goes on to read, nor trust in uncertain riches. Our material wealth is not guaranteed. It's transient. Proverbs 11:28 reads, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. In fact, I love Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Quickly, please. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Note what the Bible teaches us about material riches, material wealth. Proverbs 23, 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Question mark. What's he referring to? For riches certainly make themselves wings. Love it, love it, love it. Wings. They fly away as a brush turkey. No. We have lots of brush turkeys in our area. They have a form of flying ability, but have not the power thereof. They've got enough fly in them to reach a branch on the top of a shed. But the Bible teaches us, set not thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle. Eagles can fly to elevations far and beyond any other feathered animal, any other bird. And then in Proverbs 27:24 it reads, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Beloved, this morning, are you rich towards God? Let's not be proud with what we have. We are not to trust in uncertain riches. We're all guilty of shifting our trust to people, to positions. Oh, I've got a wonderful job. Great job. So secure, pays wonderful. I've never been paid so much in all my life. Good for you. But are you rich towards God? Who gave you that job? I'm telling you, if you had having that job and you had a stroke the next day, you probably won't have that job for much longer. Yeah. We are constantly shifting our trust to people, to positions, to openings, to possessions, to wealth that we've accumulated. And God tells us, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. God tells us that we are not to place our faith in our wealth, because it is not guaranteed. Remember, riches have what? Wings as what? A brush turkey? No, eagles. You know what? You can lose on property. Oh, Pastor, you can never lose on property. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. My money in the bank is as secure as whatever. Is it? Is it? Yes, you can lose on property. Yes, you can lose money. You can lose your health, you can lose your position, you can lose your productivity, you can lose your opportunity just like that. Don't trust in your riches. Don't be proud. Let's read on. Are you still with me? Okay. Are you rich towards God? You are rich. I know you are. Pastor, you know my personal affairs. Yes, I do. Pastors know a whole lot more than what they want to know. And I know, based upon the authority of the Word of God, you are wealthy. According to God's standards. Let's not be proud. Let's not trust. And let's read on in verse 17. Not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So don't put your hope in wealth, which is uncertain and it's transient. And this is perhaps the greatest temptation for wealthy people. Wealthy Christians, you and I. To put our trust in what we have as opposed to trusting God. In Psalm 62:8, the Bible reads, trust in Him sometimes. No, at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Beloved, God is alive, and therefore our hope needs to be in the living God. Not your bank account, not your property portfolio, not your boat, not your job, not in the area where you live. Our trust needs to be in God. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. And then verse 17 goes on to read, look at this, you'll like this point. If you've been feeling a little bit uncomfortable, you can relax now on this next point. Okay, look at this, end of verse 17. Who giveth us richly, let's say it together, all things to enjoy. Never forget the source of your wealth. And that God is happy for you and I to enjoy that wealth. God wants us to rejoice in what He has provided for us. Be thankful. Enjoy. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy the material assets you have. Enjoy the liquid funds that you have. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has provided. Provided you and I are what? Thankful. Dear God, thank you for a comfortable car. Thank you for, not that we need it at the moment, air conditioning. I guess we do still. Thank you. Thank you for a comfortable house. A nice home. a comfortable lounge. Nothing beats a comfortable lounge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So God gives us all our riches for us to enjoy. And then we move on in verse 18. That they do good and that they be rich in good works. So we that are rich are not to be proud. Let's review now verse 17. We are not to be proud. We are not to put our trust in our uncertain riches. But we are to continue to trust God, who has given us richly all things for our enjoyment. But we're accountable. And the point of accountability is right here in verse 18. Charge them that are rich in this world, verse 18, that they do good and that they be rich in good works. If God gives us riches, God gives us wealth, it is for the benefit of others. No, Pastor, it's for me. No, it's not. It's my car. It's my home. It's my money that I've worked so hard for. Who gave it to you? It is God that giveth the power to get what? It's God's. God gives to you to benefit others. We are saved by faith to perform good works. I charge them that are rich in this world that they do good and that they are rich in what? Good works. We are not saved by works, but we are saved to perform good works. And if God has entrusted to you material assets, liquid assets, you are rich, and we have a responsibility to use those riches for God's glory by ministering to others. When was the last time you had somebody in your home? Oh, Pastor, it's my home. No, it's God's. Most of the world don't have a home, let alone a roof over their head. When was the last time you had somebody in your home? Because it's God's home. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. When was the last time you used your car to pick somebody up and bring them to church? We are to be rich in good works. Now note verse 18. It goes on to read. Look at this. Are you still with me? Ready to distribute. What does that mean, Pastor? It means looking for opportunities. On the hunt. God's given me riches. I've got to use them somehow. Who's next? Ready to distribute. And then it goes on to say, just in case that's not clear to you, look at this, willing to communicate, willing to share. Beloved, God will hold the wealthy accountable. You and I are wealthy according to God's standards. We have material assets, we have liquid assets, we have beyond
food and clothing, you are rich, but are we rich towards God? Do we understand that we are custodians? We are stewards. And if we mismanage the wealth that God has given to us, God can take it away. And mark my words, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. Do good and rich in what? Say it with me. Good works. So how do I share my wealth? Support missionaries. Oh, but Pastor, I give my tithe. That belongs to God. 10% belongs to God. Beyond that is the offering. We can support missionaries. So we are accountable before God because we are wealthy. We have material assets. We have liquid assets. God tells us we are very rich. We have cattle. We have silver. We have gold. And we are accountable before God to use that cattle and that silver and gold to do good and to be rich in good works. You can give to missions. You can meet a specific need. God in His providence reveals to you a need in the life of a brother or sister in Christ. And you can meet that need. Why not meet that need? Where's the love of God if you know that a brother has a need and you don't meet that need? That was John the Apostle's thesis, was it not? You can be a blessing to somebody. Give a gift. What's that, Pastor? Something that you give freely to somebody. Freely. Without a tax invoice. Not to get, because God's blessed you. And you want to be rich in good works. Make a meal. You mean share my food with somebody? Yes. Yes. Buy someone a coffee? Yes. A book that might help them to grow. The Bible teaches us that we are to do good. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, looking for opportunities to share our wealth with others. Are you rich towards God? And then verse number 19 goes on to say, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. What's that referring to? It's referring to laying up treasure in heaven. The Lord Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, please. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 6.
verses 19 and 20. It reads, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Then note verse 21. Let's say it together after two. One and two. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's a good summary. So the Bible charges you and I that are rich in this world to not be proud, to not trust in our riches, but to continue to trust in God. Enjoy the riches that we have. But the challenge is for you and I to be rich in good works. And thereby we are laying up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. I'm so thankful that I am part of a church that practices this principle. I know many of you are very generous, are rich towards God. And as we prepare for a new missions year, may I encourage you afresh, let's be rich towards God. Let's give of our wealth as God leads you. I'm not telling you what to give. I'll leave the Mormons and the Charismatics to do that. But I challenge you to be rich towards God this morning. And whatever wealth you have, it's by the grace of God you have it. And you still have it. Rich in good works. Rich toward God. Are you rich towards God? That's the challenge this morning. God gives us wealth. We are custodians of wealth. Yes, to provide our immediate needs. But we need to be mindful that God has given us wealth, surplus. We all have surplus. Don't look at me strangely. You have surplus. You have beyond food and raiment. You have surplus. I have surplus. Are we rich towards God? Simple challenge. The new missions years before us, let's be rich towards God. Let's look out for others. Let's minister to others. Let's lay up treasure in heaven. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Praise God that we have the security of eternal life. And beyond the security of eternal life, God has given us wealth to enjoy, but to be rich in good works, ready to distribute and to communicate. Let's bow for prayer.